encouraging prayer. God offers an open invitation for his people to talk with him at any time about anything. On Encouraging Prayer, Dr. James Banks, author of the best-selling Prayers for Prodigals and many other books on prayer, provides weekly biblical insight to help you learn to love to pray. And now, here's James. Well, James, there's a saying in the South for when you preachers get too personal. And that's, now you've quit preaching and you've gone to meddling, and you tell me that's the way you want to start today? Are you sure you want to start meddling?
You could say that. I thought it would be helpful if we talked about what Scripture calls the meditation of our heart. So it's pretty personal stuff, but it's also extremely necessary.
Yeah, it really is. What comes to mind really is David's words in Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
You know, that's the same psalm I was thinking about. What a great reminder that all of our thoughts are completely open to God. I mean, that's what the meditation of our hearts is. You know, those secret thoughts that no one else knows anything about, but God does. And what David does in Psalm 19 here is, you know, he prays about those things, those most personal thoughts. It's a way of saying, Lord, you know more about what's going on in my head and my heart than I do. And I want you to have control over these things. So please, you know, help me to please you there.
Yeah, that's so important. I mean, we can't hide anything from God. And so prayer like that only makes sense. I mean, if we love him, we'll want to please him.
Yeah. Yeah, and as I think about the struggles we often face today, I mean, so many of them are matters of the heart. For example, those places you go on, you know, on your computer or cell phone when you think no one is looking. As a pastor for over 30 years, I've worked with a number of people who have gotten in big trouble on the internet, and I think that these are areas where there's a lot of hopelessness. And people feel like they can't change. And if they're really honest, it's often, you know, often that they don't want to, even though they might not ever say that. It's just kind of the nature of the battle. And so it really helps to be honest here.
That's really true. Our adversary really goes after our hearts and our affections, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And that's why praying about the meditations of our hearts matters so much. I mean, all of us, if we're honest, know what it's like to embrace sin there, and we know what it's like to feel its allure, but we also know what it's like to feel its weight.
Do we ever? I mean, the things that seem to promise happiness drag us down inside. I mean, we're running to them in place of God, and they make us sad, really down in our souls, but God does the very opposite, right? His love and his presence gives light and life and lifts us up.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I love that prayer from David about what's going on in his heart, because no sin is stronger than God. Sin has been dealt with definitively at the cross, and Jesus gives us the strength to overcome, and praying about the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts is a way of recognizing that. It doesn't matter who we are or where we've been, if we've received Jesus deep inside, we are a new creation. That's what God's word is telling us. Let's say a thought comes to mind, and you know it's not right. As soon as you feel your heart going in a particular direction, go there with God. You know, cry out to him. Give him that, whatever it is. I mean, it's like turning on the light and watching roaches run for cover.
Yeah, and when we pray, it's like that. I mean, saying, God, help me to want what you want.
That's the clean little secret, not the dirty little secret, that hell doesn't want you to know about. Because God is stronger, because we are a new creation, we really can change because we're his children. And the more we let him in and focus on the things he wants us to, the more we'll find that the warped stuff, the sinful things he doesn't want occupying our hearts, give way to his light and his power. And the more distance we put between them and our hearts through him, you know, and sometimes it might just be moment by moment, I mean, minute by minute. But as we fight through in his strength, the more his light shines in, we see those things for what they are, and we don't want to go back there.
I like that. The clean little secret really is good news, isn't it? I mean, we don't have to stay stuck where we are. New beginnings are really possible with God.
Are they ever? Are they ever? And that's why I wanted to talk about them today, especially for that person who's feeling defeated. I want to remind that person that they're more than the choices they've made. They're more than the stupid, sinful things that we've all done. You know, those things don't define you. If you've come to Jesus and asked him to forgive you and clean you up, he does. And when you've messed up again and again and you don't think you can get over whatever it is you're wrestling with, you really can. Not in your own strength, but with his. And so we have to lean into him, you know. That's why the kind of praying David demonstrates here matters so much. It's proactive. It's not just, forgive me, I've messed up again. It's a new strategy. It's filled with faith because, you know, it sees God as a rock and as a redeemer.
Right. That's the second part of the prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Because he is those things. We can run to him. A rock, the way David writes about it, is a place of safety, a higher place to stand.
Yeah, and calling him Redeemer recognizes that he can save you out of the mess. He really is greater.
James, it seems appropriate today that we should, you know, take a moment to pray for that person who is struggling with sins. It seems like they can't let go of, that they can really know the hope that Jesus gives. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much that we know that you are greater than sin. And Lord, I pray that you would just give hope where there's hopelessness right now. Help that person see that you are bigger than that and that they can turn to you in the moment and you do want to rescue them, just like you rescued us at the cross. Lord, I pray that you would go deep with your Holy Spirit, revealing things that we are not even aware of, that you would clean in us, that we would want what you want. What a beautiful thought. And we'd love to grow closer to you in that. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Robbie. I mean, how good it is to know that we have a rock and a redeemer who's completely able to save us and lift us closer to himself. And because he knows us and knows what it's like to be completely human, we can give him even the things we could never share with anyone else, and he will help us through them and over them. Jesus really is a friend of sinners.
Yes. Yes, he is. And sets them free. God bless you, James, and all of our listeners. We're so thankful for every one of you. You can hear more from Pastor James by visiting his website, jamesbanks.org, or by visiting Peace Church in Durham, North Carolina. May God bless you and encourage you as you pray.